in these signs, he say, in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. So you're going to have signs that's going to follow you when you believe. And he said, in my name, they shall cast out devils and shall speak with new tongues. See, people think that when you hear people speaking in a heavenly language that they're putting on. But this is what Mark says, that when you get saved and you are baptized, you're going to speak with, you're going to have a new tongue language, you know? And verse 18 says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Thanks of God, God is protecting us. Even though he give us all these gifts, he's protecting us in these gifts. You know, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, you have to believe this. In order to operate in any of these gifts, you're going to have faith. Only faith can move in these gifts. The anointing works by faith. And that's what we're going to have in order to work these gifts, and these fruits of the Spirit will be in our life. 2 Corinthians 13 and 27. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. And you want to know where the miracles are? They're still in the church. We just don't have anybody capable of doing miracles. You know. The gifts of healing. All this is in the same verse, verse 27. The gifts of healings and helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. All of these gifts. Now, saints of God, you need to pay attention to these gifts, because these are the gifts that we're supposed to have.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wonder Bear. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wonder Bear. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wonder Bear or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884.
But when we put it all together, this is what we like to call you, Jesus.
Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 3. Galatians, chapter 6, verse 3. Recorded are these words. For if a man think he is something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Verse 4 says, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. But just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. Are you really all that? Are you really all that? Paul makes clear to the church that there reaches a point and a time when we are called to assist one another in the word, in the will, and in the way of God, especially if a brother or a sister has been overtaken by a fault. He encourages us to bear one another's burdens. And in so doing, we fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ, of course, meant the commands or the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to fulfill means to make sure we fully complete the law, or to complete an assignment. To fulfill means to feel full. And this word says to us that as a brother or a sister comes against life, and life throws some things at them that will knock them down, that will push them back, that will cause them to fall, that will overpower them, those of us who are spiritual ought to be there to the rescue. But then there are those of us who sometimes think we are too much for that. That though that happened to somebody else, it'll never happen to me. Because I am all that. I don't have to worry about ever being in that position. Well, may I suggest to you, you may not be in that condition, but if you keep on living, you will be in that position. The position of repenting, the position of seeking forgiveness, the position of asking God's grace and mercy to aid you in your situation, the position of needing help from others. And so sometimes we act as if we are perfect already, that we've attained perfection, and therefore not only do we not give help, but we don't seek help. And so he says, for if a man think he is something, if a man think, that means he's invested time in the thought process. If a man think, that means he's given thought to the matter and spent time researching and developing that thought or his opinion. If a man think, that means he's done some comparing. That means he's done some measuring. For if a man think, that means he has evaluated the situation. For if a man think, that means that ain't just no thought that just flew by his mind. He invested in that opinion. If a man think he is something, something, what is something? Whatever the something is. Whatever that something is that is of value, that is of worth, that's something that is elevated and lifted above other things, that something that is given attention to. Whatever that something is, if he thinks he's that, now listen at this, the world thinks like that. But the word cautions us not to think like that. Listen, if we are nothing. See, the world is good at fooling itself. World is good at telling itself you look good when you know it ain't the truth. See, the world will overlook the obvious, trying to find that is not readily seen, and then connect and attach its feelings and affinities to that, saying and thinking beyond what is the obvious. If you really want to be truthful with yourself, it's important to get a second opinion. When you think you're all that, and here's one good way to judge it. You know, when you get dressed or you trying a new style or you get a new do or whatever the case is, and something on the inside kind of tells you it's not quite right. But you won't pretend that it is. And you get attitude with it. But find somebody who will be real with you. And say that to somebody who will be real with you. And if they're real with you, they'll tell you, No, that don't work. That ain't you, boo. I liked another style or another style or that style better. But they'll be real enough to tell you that doesn't work. Folk, when we were coming up, were real like that. Especially mothers and fathers. You tried to put on something, do something, and it was not befitting of the name, the reputation, or the style. They'd be like, where you think you're going? You walk in the room, turn right on around. Start again. Why? Because they want you to realize that that ain't about nothing. For if a man think he is something, if a man think when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Wow. It's one thing for other folk to fool you. It's a whole nother thing for you to fool yourself. A whole nother thing to fool yourself about what you are. Now, here's the bad thing about it. You know you. And to act like you're more than you is deceptive to the worst level. Because when you act like you're more than you are, then there comes a challenge, a proving, a testing, an examination. There comes a scrutinization behind the claim that you are something. It's bad when you say you're something and you're nothing. Listen, it's all right when you're nothing and become something. But when you're something and folk can't find nothing, something's wrong with that picture. In the beginning, there was nothing. The world was void and without shape. What nothing, nowhere. But from out of nothing, God pulled something with his words. He said, let there be. And it was. Everything that he said, let there be, came, listen at this, out of nothing. So may I suggest to you that it's better to take the low road and come up higher than to take the high road and be brought down low. God started with nothing amounts to nothing. Those started with think that we are something, and the record is we ain't nothing. And we're going around deceiving ourselves. That means we attach a false sense of worth. It's accentuated. It's embellished. It's overrated. It's beyond its worth and value. And the problem with that is you become disappointed time after time after time, because what you're not aware is some folk know what something is. All right. Mama used to always tell me, baby, when you've got something of quality, you don't have to go around bragging on the price. People who know quality knows what it costs. People who know quality know that's expensive. People who know quality know when something is rich. People who know quality know that there is a difference between that just looks good and that is. You ain't got to go around bragging on yourself. When you truly are something. The record says this. Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work. But let every man prove his own work. Another way of saying that is this. Let every man prove his own worth. Because that's what it all boils down to. See, if I'm worth what I say, then I ought to be able to back it up. I am who I am by the grace of God and the actions of my deeds. In other words, and the actions of my thinking. I ought to be able to prove it. Hit a note for me. I don't need but one note. I can tell you about how you handle that one note if I want to hear any more notes. I wish I had a helper in the house. If I say I'm an artist, I ought to be able to see some proof or hit a few strokes for me. And I can tell by your handling the brush and the paint and the canvas whether or not you know what you're doing. But even so, when you've done what you've done, it's going to tell the story. Dr. C.B. Jackson said, the worst thing they can say about a preacher, not that he was a woman chaser, he was a money monger, not that he was a wine bibber, but that he couldn't preach and call himself a preacher. And when you are what you say you are, there ought to be some proof, some sign, some significant substance that verifies what you say. And so the word says prove. It's an interesting word because this word prove literally means to scrutinize and it means to examine as well. But here's what it really means. It means to approve after the examination what you claim. Let me say it again. It means literally to prove after the examination what you claim. In other words, it becomes authentic only after it's been tested. Once it's been tried, then that's when you know it's real. Because a whole lot of things may appear to be real without being tested. That's why so many saints fall apart when they claim that they are who they say they are and that they have a relationship with God. And soon as they go through something, they fall apart. They leave the church. They get out of their position. They get out of their places. They give up on life. They throw in the towel. They wave the white flag of surrender because they aren't what they claim they are. And testing, trials, will always cause you to be examined, and the proof will always come out in the end. You love, say you love after you know. How is it that folk who fall in love always fall in love before they know folk? You just been dating a few days, few weeks, few months. Girl, I love you. Oh, really? But they don't really know them to love them. They might love what they see. They may love what they think they know. They may love their responses. They may love their attributes, but they don't really love them because they don't know them. That's why I'm so grateful for the Lord. No. He loves me after knowing me. he knew me before he ever declared his love for me and loved me enough to come down and die for me and go back and make intercession for me. And that's all after he knew me. And how is it when folks say they love you and then they find out that you're not perfect? Or they find out or discover that you don't reach up as high as they thought you reached up on the ladder. And then all of a sudden they don't love you no more. Well, why? Well, I had a change of heart. No, well, you got more information. You put it to a test. And it failed the test. And that kind of love, my brothers and sisters, is not real love. And nothing is what it is until, listen to this, it's been tested. What it is until, listen to this, has been tested. A microscope has been examined. And once it has gone through that and it still is what it claims it is, then you can call it authentic. And when it's authentic, you ain't got to worry about it changing on you. You have a ball that fool's going, you put it around your neck. And they start turning green. Or your little fake rings, you know, when you were young. Got them out the bubble gum, had a big old rock. And then round your finger, it started turning green. It looked like real gold. But just wearing it for a little while and the acid from your body proved that it wasn't real gold. Look, life has a way of testing you to determine whether you are what you say you are. Satan had come to church one day, and God asked Satan, "Satan, where have you been?" He said, "Well, Lord, I've been busy. I've been up to and fro in the earth seeking whom I may devour." He said, "Listen, man, I got something to say. Have you seen Job?" He said, "Yeah, I passed his house, as a matter of fact. I've told you this many times. But you got a hedge around it. I can't get to it." See, the truth of the matter is, God, Job doesn't serve you for nothing. You've been good to him. But I tell you, if you take all that stuff from him, I make him curse you to your face. God said, "No, I'm not going to take anything from him." He said, "But I will permit you to try and see if that claim is so." You see, God knew Job's heart. And God gave Job what he gave Job because of his heart. Because he loved God totally, fully, and completely. And it wasn't about the things he was given, but the love that he had. But the devotion, the commitment. And so when God permitted him to be tested, four servants came to Job's house, one after the other, after the other, after the other, and declared all of the mishaps, all of the destruction that had come to Job's house. Job did not rise up and curse God, but he went and shaved himself, fell down on his knees, worshipped him. Worshipped God. Worshipped his troubles and tests, temptation, troubles, and tests, character of a person. Anybody can smile and laugh with you and say, "I'm with you," when it's good. But true friendship, true love, true relationship is never ever true until it's been tested. Never true until it's been tested. When you say this is my true blue friend, what you're saying is They've been with me when I've been up, and they've been with me when I'm down. They've been with me when I had. They've been with me when I didn't have. They've been with me when my name was well celebrated. They've been named when my name was hung out on the street post. They've been with me all of the way and never changed their position with me. That's a true friend. Prodigal son found some friends who loved his money, didn't care nothing about him. And when his money ran out, so did his friends, because they were only attracted to what he had. My brothers, my sisters, make sure you call somebody a friend. My brothers, my sisters, that they've been tried. Yeah, that's your acquaintance, but they ain't your friend till they've gone through some stuff with you. Till you have proven that they are what they say they are. And then you'll have that knowledge that is worth having concerning that situation. Peter told the Lord, though all the rest of these brothers be offended because of you, you never have to worry about me. I got your back. I'm with you. You can count on me. Jesus had to tell him, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Thrice. Peter's like, no, you got the wrong one. I'll even go and die with you. See, what Peter was hyped on was the anointing he had from the anointed one, Christ himself, to do ministry work. And he thought it was his anointing of himself. And so he thought he could wield his anointing to do whatever he wanted to do. He thought he was something else. Jesus was telling him, Peter, without my anointing, you are nothing else but a weak man with a big idea. And time played it out. And on the third denial of Jesus, the cock crew ran out of the temple court. And Jesus looked at him. Peter locked eyes with Jesus. And Peter knew that Jesus knew that all that he claimed was nothing. Nothing. Notice again the word says, but let every man prove his own work, and then somebody say, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone. Now, what does this mean? There is nothing, my brothers and sisters, like having the gratification of knowing that you've done a thing well. It's been well done, and you're not ashamed for anybody to examine it. Listen, it's been so well done that you don't have a problem with folk scrutinizing and checking it out and getting a closer look. You know, when stuff ain't quite right, you don't want folk to get too close. You in my space. Wait, hold up, back up. You might see that this ain't on right. Hold up now, don't get too close. But when it's on right, when everything is together, you don't have a problem with folk inspecting it. Because not only is it together, but you can pull it apart and put it back together the same way again, and it'll be perfect that time also. Because you are what you say you are. You can do what you say you can do. And your work is proof positive of that claim. And listen to this. Whether anyone pats you on the back, celebrates your name, call you up and tell you what a great job you've done, or any of that, you will have such peace underneath the skin and gratification that this job has been so well done that you sense God's pleasure in your work, that you can rejoice all by yourself. Listen, it's good to have appreciation from without, but it's better to have approval from within.
The teaching ministry, Dr. John E. Montgomery II, offers hope for today and hope for tomorrow.